The second meditation for the Curcio weekend is entitled The Prodigal Son. There are two things that we would like for you to think about this first evening of your Curcio weekend: yourself and God. We would like for you to reflect upon yourself, to know who you are, to get a better knowledge of yourself. And that was the topic for the first meditation this evening. And now in this second meditation on the parable of the prodigal son, we want to try to get a deeper insight into who God is. Jesus came on earth to reveal to us the Father, to tell us who God is, what He is like, and what relationship He wishes to have with us. Jesus had a special word that He used whenever He addressed God. In Aramaic, it was Abba. This would be translated into English as Daddy or Dada. It would be the name that a small child first gives to one of its parents. This was the relationship that Jesus had with His Heavenly Father, a beloved child toward a very loving Father who cared for Jesus. Whenever Jesus prayed, this is what He called God, Abba, Father. One day, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus obliged them by telling them, when you pray, you also can call God Abba, Daddy. Jesus also told them a story about a loving father who had two sons. We find this in the 15th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. The younger son asked his father for his share of the inheritance. Now the father loved that son so much that he was willing to sell half of his property and give it to this younger son. Jesus tells us in the story of the prodigal son that not many days thereafter, the younger son gathered together all his possessions and went off to a far country where he squandered his fortune in loose living. And after he had spent all, a great famine broke out in that country, and he himself began to be in dire need. And so he hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to feed the pigs. This man who had had so much before now sits miserably on the fence watching the pigs eat. He is so hungry himself that he could eat the same garbage as the pigs are eating. He longed to fill his belly with the husks that the pigs ate, but even these were denied him. And then he begins to think of his father's home, where even the servants have bread in abundance, where they are so much better off than he, the son, is. At last, he comes to his senses, to the harsh realization of what a fool he has made of himself. And this deep awareness of the depth of his fall was actually the beginning of his salvation. I will rise and I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Regard me as one of your hired servants. It was not easy for this younger son to make this first step, this first decision. It was only the terrible misery of his present situation that forced him to take the courage to free himself from the slavery into which his sins had cast him. No doubt he thought to himself, "What will my brother say, my elder brother, or my friends and neighbors? How can I face them?" But the thought of the love and the kindliness of his father that he had experienced those many years before he left home gave him the courage to make the break with his present life. And so he set off for his father's house. It was a long ways back to the father's house, and it was not easy. But the thought of that love that the father had given him enables him to hurry the pace as he gets closer and closer to his father's home. And as Jesus tells the story, while this younger son was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming and was moved to the heart, and he ran out and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. I remember seeing a moving picture made by the Episcopal Church of this story, and it shows this old man with the long, white, flowing beard, standing up on this hill where his house was, looking out into the distance across the barren desert, trying to catch some sight of this son, waiting there day after day, hoping for the son to return. And finally, in the moving picture, it shows just a tiny little cloud of dust on the horizon. And as it gets nearer and nearer, the father watches this with great interest and finally recognizes that it is his long-lost son returning. And I still remember the joy and the enthusiasm, the love, the smiles on the face of the father as he ran down the hill to greet the son. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." This younger son had previously rehearsed his confession and had planned to tell the father that he was no longer worthy to be a son, but just to let him be one of the servants in the household. But the father does not allow him to finish his confession. He cuts him short. He says, "Quick," to the servants who had come up at that time, "bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And take the fatted calf that we were preparing to take to Jerusalem to offer in sacrifice to the Lord. And let us kill it, and let us eat and celebrate and make merry, for this my son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." What a reception! How unexpected! This wayward son thought he knew his father's heart, but never did he suspect this much depth of love, of mercy, of understanding, of forgiveness. This is the God that we believe in. This is the God that we worship. Perhaps this little story of the prodigal son, or shall we say the prodigal father, who was so generous in pouring out his love upon this wayward son, that this picture gives us as good a picture of who God really is as anything that we might find in the whole Bible. This is the picture of God that Jesus wants us to have. Not a stern judge, but a loving, merciful Father who loves us so much that he actually spoils us. He allows us to take advantage of his love and even abuse it, as did this wayward son. And yet, that same God is always ready and waiting and willing to take us back the moment we return to him. He respects our freedom. He does not force himself upon us. But how glad God is when we return to him. In his great love for us, he allows us even to sin and wander away from him because he respects our freedom. Nevertheless, it is a loving father, a loving parent, who is always waiting for us, who watches every day for our return, who sees us when we're still a long ways off and runs out to greet us. The father in this story is not interested in hearing the confession of all the evil deeds that his wayward son has committed. He's just so happy over the son's return that his only thought is to sacrifice that very animal that was being set aside for a sacrifice to God. But now it's going to be sacrificed in order to have a celebration over the return of this wayward child. Is this your picture of God? How do you picture God? Is your idea of God similar to the father of the prodigal son? Or do you perhaps see him as a stern judge, ready to condemn you and punish you? Are you willing to believe that God could actually be as good and merciful and forgiving to you as the father pictured by Jesus in this parable? The main purpose, remember, of why Jesus came on earth was to reveal God to us, to tell us what kind of a person God is, and tell us the kind of relationship, namely a relationship of merciful, forgiving love that God wants to have with us. When we first think about this, it is almost too good to be true. But Jesus does not lie. The picture he draws of our Heavenly Father is the only true picture we have of God. Are you ready and willing to believe this? Perhaps you already believe it to some extent, but I think it would be very helpful if this evening you would take some time to build up a more favorable image of the Heavenly Father than what perhaps you have had in the past. This God who is pictured in the story of the prodigal son is the God that you're going to be hearing about over and over again throughout these 3 days. This is the God that you need to get to know better, because there is no other God. He is the only God we have, and thanks be to God for the kind of person he is. To help us see all the more clearly the depth of divine mercy and love and forgiveness, our Lord in the parable continues with the story of the elder son. And in this last part of the story, he contrasts the unlimited love and mercy and forgiveness of the Father with the more normal and expected human reaction that is seen in the attitude of the elder son. According to the parable in the Gospel, we are told that the elder son was angry and would not go in. And when the Father came out to him, so the father loves that elder son just as much as the younger son, and pleads with the elder son to come in. But the elder son replies, "For how many years have I slaved for you and never transgressed one of your orders? You have never given me so much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours..." The elder brother does not recognize the younger brother as his brother. "This son of yours, when he returns after having devoured your property with loose women, you kill the fatted calf for him." Here we have the characteristic reaction of human pettiness, filled with an egotistic thought of one's own importance and one's own sacrifices, but unwilling to bend down in mercy and love to someone else who has not been as good as oneself. The elder son forgot that all that he had received were actually blessings from God, but he takes all the credit to himself. He refuses to acknowledge this sinner as his brother. This all seems very natural, very human, and I think we can see something of ourselves and our attitude towards God's mercy in the attitude of this elder son. But how different is the heart of God? And the words that the father addresses to the elder son, I think, also gives us an additional insight into the mercy of God and to who this God is that we worship. "My son," replied the father, "you are with me always, and all that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." I think those words of the father to the elder son are so applicable to us today. "All that I have is yours." This is what God says to each one of us. "All that I have is yours." I wish you would take some time this evening just to reflect on those particular words of the father to the elder son. Try to realize exactly what that entails. Try to imagine God saying this to you this evening: "My son or my daughter, all that I have is yours." What does that mean? What are all of those things that God has? We speak of them as the transcendental level of reality. God has all love, all goodness, all truth, all holiness, all happiness, all fulfillment, all joy, all peace, all justice, all beauty, all mercy. These are some of the possessions of God. And God is saying to each one of us this evening, as he says to us every day, "All that I have is yours." St. Paul, in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, says, "It has not entered into the heart of a human being all the things that God has prepared for those who love him." God is just waiting to share with us all of his treasures. "All that I have is yours." It's all there for the taking. This is the kind of God that we have. This is the kind of love that God has for us. And so if we just look at the way the Father, in this story of the prodigal son in St. Luke's Gospel, the way he treats both the elder son and the younger son, we get two different aspects of the kind of person God is. Having such a God who is willing to go to such extremes to share with us everything that he has, to receive us back regardless of how we have sinned against him, regardless of how long that we have turned away from him. What a God! What a Heavenly Father we have! With such a God, is there anything that we would refuse him? Once we realize the kind of person we are dealing with when we relate to God, we will no longer be afraid to face up to our faults and our failures, our weaknesses and our limitations. Just as the prodigal son was able to look honestly at his own life and see himself as he really was. Why? Because he knew and had experience of the great love and mercy of his Father. So this evening, then, in the quiet time that you have before you fall off to sleep, find the courage to look honestly at your own life and discover who you really are. And then, if necessary, following the example of the prodigal son, rise up and return to God in your heart. Acknowledge to him your failures, and then receive from him his unlimited, merciful love and forgiveness. This is the end of the second meditation on the prodigal son.